The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laugh as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Over there on the other side of the Zoom, we've got the one and only super producer, Max Williams. Give it up for him. And they call me Ben. There's someone else on the Zoom, one of my favorite people wearing one of my favorite t-shirts. Noel, I noticed.
You noticed my shirt?
I noticed your shirt. I like your shirt.
Oh, thanks, man. This is a Daily Zeitgeist shirt signed by every member of the Daily Zeitgeist crew in blood. It's a little, it's below the fold. You can't see that part, but it's a very prized possession. I only wear it, you know, as like a sort of podcast totem, you know, just to give me that podcast juice, because it really is sort of imbued with the spirit of podcasting.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I've wondered this before. This has nothing to do with today's episode, folks, but I've wondered this before. Maybe there's a question our fellow Ridiculous Historians can answer. So you guys know how it's considered like poor taste or kind of lame to wear the t-shirt of a band that you're going to see at their concert. Does the same thing happen with podcasts? Like I have some old Ridiculous History t-shirts and I never wear them outside because it feels strange for me.
Well, that's
to do so.
That's different, Ben. That's the equivalent of you wearing your own band's t-shirt, which is the most epic of flexes that can only be pulled off by a select few, like say maybe Metallica in the 80s. They could have done that, you know, or Megadeth or something like that, or one of those death metal bands where you can't even read what the script says because it's just like a weird
Angry Thorns.
Angry Thorns, precisely. And again, I would ask, Ben, who is it that says it's lame to wear a band's t-shirt? That's just show of solidarity. Are you there to be seen? Are you there to support your band? You know?
Well, yeah. You know,
it's like wearing a jersey to a sporting event. No one would shut you down for that.
There you go. That's an excellent comparison. Max is nodding there. But yeah, I think that's a really good point. And you know me, man. I just like to see when people are enthusiastic and happy. So if you're wearing something that makes you happy, and it doesn't matter if you can pull it off. But speaking of pulling stuff off, let's talk about segues.
You are so good at that.
It's just, I disagree, but I really appreciate it. Noel, you and Max and I were super into Heist recently, and we had teased another kind of like heist related, I would say, a good old fashioned prison break in a past episode. But we got so excited when we had a chance to talk with Alex Williams earlier this week that we actually put a pause on our heist phase. But my friend, I believe we're back to it today. Is that correct?
That's right. We're back in heist mode. Can I still be the bag man, Ben? I just want to be the
bag. Of course.
I've always wanted to be a bag man.
I will have no other bag man in the crew other than you.
Is a bag man the guy that carries the money? Like, do I get a suitcase with a handcuff? Like, what's my role exactly, Ben?
Yeah, it depends on the nature of our heist. So, like, because you always need a good bag man. So, like, if we were robbing a bank, and don't do it, by the way, you'd be surprised how little money bank robbers actually make. We have a Brain Stuff video about it. It's interesting and depressing. But if we were, for some reason, robbing a bank, then you, as the bag man, would be the person taking the money. Mm-hmm. To, you know, the getaway driver, then we'd probably have like the muscle. It depends on how far we want to go with it. And if we're in a prison break, you would have probably a bag of tools.
That's right. And one could argue that a prison break is a heist where the stolen goods are, in fact, the heistees, you know, or the crew themselves. They're literally absconding with themselves. They are literally stealing their own physical bodies from like this conceptual vault that is the prison. That is holding them inside. Yes.
Conceptual and literal. So today's episode takes us to Australia. This is a continent that we have always wanted to visit, at least Noel and I. Max, have you ever found yourself in Australia?
I have not found myself in Australia yet. I want to go, but I'm also like deathly afraid of that like country because, I mean, it has some of the craziest animals ever, like giant snakes. Like, no. So, I don't know. Yes, I would love to go to Australia, but I'm terrified of that country.
Well, also, you wouldn't like the plane flight, I think.
Was it about 15 hours? Oof. Something crazy.
I'm flying to Seattle here in a few weeks, and it's like 5 hours. Are you kidding me? That's how long I got to be on a plane for.
Oh, it's going to be so worth it, Max. You're going to love it there.
You're going to love it.
Real quick shout out. You're talking about the wilds of Australia. Just a shout out to my buddy Peach and Tom, who live in, I believe, South Wales, like Queensland area, but like near the Great Barrier Reef, like in this gorgeous, idyllic, yet terrifying, you know, rainforest situation. Mm-hmm. Constantly posting Instagram stories of like snakes having sex in their ceiling and knocking down lights and them having to replace them. And they're always just very humanitarian in their treatment of the wildlife, even if they're totally encroaching on their day-to-day. But you're right, Max. Some of these animals look like stuff straight out of Dr. Seuss books. It's wild. Very, very wild country.
It's unique because it had been isolated for such a long time from other ecosystems that there were some interesting opportunities for evolution. And I like the shout-out, too, because we do have a lot of Australian listeners. So I'd also like to shout-out Ellie and shout-out Patrice. And if you would like a shout out, let us know. We'll tell you how to get in contact with us at the end of the show. But first, we got to figure out how these jailbreaks happen. If you know much about the history of Australia, you know that it is a complicated, winding, very old story. And for a time, convicts were shipped from Europe to Australia. Mm-hmm. Our story starts today with a guy named John Devoy. Can you introduce us to John, Noel?
I sure can, man. John Devoy was an Irish revolutionary who went to prison in England and was later exiled to America. He was a member and senior official in the Irish Republican Brotherhood, also known as the Fenians. Born in County Kildare in 1842, he spent a lot of his time as a recruiter, finding thousands, actually, of Irish-born young men to literally sabotage the British Army from within.
Mm-hmm. And he was successful with this recruitment process. By 1866, there were an estimated 80,000 Fenian recruits. But then someone dropped the dime. Someone snitched to the British. And Devoy was exposed because the powers that be found out there was a rebellion in the works. So when Devoy is caught, he's convicted of treason. He's sentenced to 15 years hard time at a place called the Isle of Portland in England. We also want to give a big thanks to the good folks over at Smithsonian and our research associate, Gabe. Gilbert King wrote this wonderful article that we're pulling some sources from here. So anyway, Devoy is, he serves about 5 years. Mm-hmm. At this location. He's been sentenced to 15, and then he was exiled to the U.S. where he became a journalist.
Doesn't that seem like a little bit lenient? It feels to me like literally sabotaging the British army from within with like moles and spies and, you know, all of that kind of subterfuge. You know, the word treason was used. That usually results in a death sentence, doesn't it?
Right, man. Like, I mean, whenever I read about stories like this, I always think I can't get away with a late library book.
Right.
You know what I mean? And people are out here overthrowing governments. I fell asleep trying to put on a pair of pants one day. It makes me think about ambition and whether or not I have enough of it. But this guy, yeah, you're right. He seems to have gotten off easy, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I don't know about if they had parole type situations in these imprisonment scenarios, but it sure feels like that's kind of what he got, because he was out after 5 years. He was exiled to America, but like you said, he was able to kind of start a new life and became a journalist for the New York Herald, and then became active with a subset of Fenians there in the U.S., a group called Clan Nagael.
Yeah, a legit secret society. There's a conspiracy. So he's back with the Fenians. He's back with the cause. Let's go back to Ireland real quick, because as we said, Devoy wasn't the only Fenian. Far from it.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
If we've learned anything in the process of doing this podcast, just living life, it's that there's always a catch.
So when we heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month if you get a 3-month plan, we looked at each other and we thought, nah, what's the catch?
But here's the thing. In this case, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online.
Yeah, they cut out that middleman cost of retail stores and they pass those sweet, sweet savings directly to you. We're not joking. We have tried out Mint Mobile ourselves and it's super convenient. And it actually, like, we tried to find a catch and there's not one.
So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan.
Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. There was another guy named James Wilson we need to introduce. He joined the 5th Dragoon, the British Army Guards, the 5th Dragoon Guards in the 1860s, and he was secretly also a Fenian. So he had a different oath that he took in secret, and part of that was that he was going to do his utmost to secure a democratic, independent republic in Ireland. And so eventually, in 1865, he and a fellow conspirator named Martin Hogan decide to go AWOL. They desert the army, and they do this after they have already kind of turned a bunch of other Irish soldiers in the Dragoons and introduced them to the Society of Fenians. But then, again, someone snitched, and Wilson, like Devoy, was arrested. He was court-martialed on February 10th, 1866.
Right. But he did get a death sentence, at least initially. And it doesn't seem like what the two men did were that far afield from each other. That's why I'm a little confused about DeVoy's, you know, comparatively lenient sentence. But again, it was commuted to life in prison at a place called Fremantle Prison, which was on the continent of Australia, which, as we know, began as an English prison colony, essentially.
Yeah, as far as the British were concerned, it's funny because, well, not funny, but it's fascinating because if you look at the history of Australia and the way it affects people in the modern day, it's estimated that almost 20% of modern Australians are descended in some part from people who were punished with what was called transport. Transport was the word they would use. Like, you're sentenced to transportation, so you are shipped off to Australia. You're shipped off down under. And this might sound like a really cool thing. You might say, oh wow, so instead of instead of killing him, they sent him on an all-expense-paid trip to a place, you know, nowadays a lot of people would love to visit. This was not the case. So he goes on by ship. He travels with other Fenian prisoners, Wilson, that is. And when they get to Australia, there's a Catholic chaplain who says, you should let these guys continue to work together. They should be imprisoned together as a group, the Fenians. So they're allowed to work together separately from other convicts as long as they were civilians. Wilson was a military deserter, so there's an extra level of dislike and repugnance for him, right?
Well, and also probably scrutiny, you know, knowing that someone like that has those kind of military chops and maybe possesses the knowledge to pull a fast one on the guards and maybe, I don't know, plan some sort of elaborate Ocean's 11 style prison break.
Oh, dun, dun, dun. And we're getting to it. Yes. So because Wilson is a military deserter, the powers that be don't like that kind of they don't like that kind of vibe. So they disperse those dudes just amongst the general population. They're in Gen Pop, and people like Wilson hate it. They're disgusted. Years and years pass. It's 1869, and by this point, a little more than half of those Fenian convicts get royal pardons, but none of those ex-British soldiers get pardons, and that's because the Duke of Cambridge, legend had it, as we're finding this from irishcentral.com, but legend has it that the Duke of Cambridge had influenced Prime Minister Gladstone and said, you will not go easy on these people. None of them can get pardons. Are you playing, Gladstone? No, I'm the Duke of Cambridge, and what I say goes.
He doesn't play. Dukes don't play. Maybe they do. Maybe they play like polo or something. I don't
like
know what Dukes
games,
play.
Water polo.
Surely. I was thinking more like traditional horsey polo, but maybe, you know, in the summer.
Some dressage.
Capture the mansion.
Ooh, what's that, Max? Dressage? Is that where they make the horses step real pretty?
With the weird trots. Yeah,
it's horse dancing. Yes.
That's.
No one can see my hands, but I'm doing the dancing with my hands.
Yeah. Clippity clopping. Yeah, no,
clippity clopping.
Really quick, just to call it another awesome source, and if you're into Irish history and maybe even interested in visiting Ireland, highly recommend checking out irishcentral.com. There's an article there by the staff that we also pulled some resources on for this episode.
Yeah, and so Wilson is many things, but he's not a dummy. Far from it. And he realizes, look, as long as people like the Duke of Cambridge are in the mix, me and the boys are not getting pardons. We are either going to serve out the entirety of our term in this prison, or we are going to have to go on the lam. We'll have to make an escape. And so he writes a secret letter reaching out to his network for some help.
I love a secret letter. Do you think it had some sort of like cryptic?
Oh God, I hope so.
Like a wax seal on it of some kind. You know, I mean, I just
or
gotta,
like a code, disappearing ink, or you have
disappearing
to like,
ink. That was what I was thinking. Remember that? Well, you can make that with what, like lemon juice and something else.
I think so. Yeah, or like maybe you have to fold the letter like those old Mad magazine covers. Do you guys remember Mad magazine?
Oh yeah, so I remember it being very bawdy. It was very bawdy.
Oh yeah. So Before we get to this letter, maybe we talk just a little bit about the Fremantle prison. It is not a super pleasant place, and we know a lot about it thanks to a writer named Peter Murphy, himself Irish-Australian, who wrote a book called Finian Fear.
That's right, and this is not to be confused with the Peter Murphy from the seminal goth band Bauhaus, just to put that out there in case anyone was wondering, which I'm sure very few of you were. Yeah, but 62 Fenians, all told, were sent to Western Australia and locked up in Fremantle Prison. That, by the way, was located in what is today modern-day Perth, the Perth metro area. And I believe Fremantle Prison, it definitely stands today, and I believe it is the only World Heritage Site in all of Australia, which is a massive continent. And earlier, just want to say something real quick. Earlier, I said it's a wild country, referring to the, you know, the really rural parts of Australia. I know Australia is a continent. I was like being, you know, like Dickensian about it. Like it's a wild country.
You know, it's both a country and a continent, you know. It's pretty
and
neat.
An island.
And an island. Yeah, there he is. Also,
but is it everything in an island?
It depends on your perspective, right, Max? It's a good question. I do want to shout out, though, unrelated to anything except the name, Australia is also home to one of my favorite winds, W-I-N-D-S. There's a wind called the Fremantle Doctor. Isn't that a cool name? Sometimes the locals apparently just call it the Doctor. I love the idea of a wind that has a name. So if you have experience with, or if you're familiar with any other thing like this, like a wind that has a name, please tell us. Can't wait to hear everything about
it. Isn't there a fantasy series of fantasy novels called The Name of the Wind?
There's something called The Name of the Wind.
Oh, yeah. The King's Killer Chronicle, day one, is called The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. Not had the pleasure, but I've heard good things.
Awesome. Yeah, I haven't read it either, but I love a good fantasy series, so I'll check it out. Well, you know what we haven't heard good things about is the Fremantle Prison.
Nope.
This place, the construction on it began in 1852. It wasn't really done until 1859, but they were putting people into this prison before construction was complete. They were putting people in there as early as 1855, and it's a pretty big place. It's got, of course, a lot of perimeter walls. There are workshops. There's a hospital. There's six houses for the senior officers of the prison, and this thing did numbers. It moved volume between 1850 and 1868, and almost 10,000 convicts passed through the prison.
And hey, I learned something before we went on air, and I came to Ben and Max about this, and I was real proud of myself. Guys, I learned a new word today. It's gaol. It's another word for prison. And then Ben very kindly patted me on the head virtually and said, I think it's pronounced jail. I learned a cool alternate spelling for jail today. It's pronounced gowl.
I only know it because of a poem by Oscar Wilde. And I had this embarrassing moment where I had to read it out loud in class. And then my history teacher decided to, you know, point it out publicly. So
ostracize you really bad.
Oh, yeah.
They pass around the shards of the pots, everything.
Oh, there we go. Callback. Yeah. It does make me wonder, though, with the spelling of that G-A-O-L, I believe, if there's any connection between that and the word gulag, which is, you know, forced labor camps that were very in full effect during Stalin's reign.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm not sure. I haven't looked into it. So listeners, if you know, let us know. And it gets its name in 1867. That's when it's officially the Fremantle Prison. And at the same, like just a year after that, they stopped transporting convicts to that prison. So by 1886, there are less than 50 convicts in this prison. It's a ghost town. It's built to house 1,000 people. Now there are only 50.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was a an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Anyway, so we're giving you a lot of context, but you need it for this heist. Let's go back to DeVoy, Noel. He's in New York City. As you said, he's got a new life. He's a journalist now. And he gets a secret letter from a guy in Australia named James Wilson. And the intro is so cool, man.
That's right. He says, "Remember, this is a voice from the tomb." Exactly. And, you know, the takeaway there was I am a ghost of Christmas past kind of situation, reminding you of your the oath that you made, you know, so long ago, speaking to him in kind of this esoteric language, likely that would have been recognizable to him as like kind of this coded talk between members of the secret society. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a fascinating letter. Wilson is one of seven of the high-profile Fenians. He's one of the seven people convicted of treason, sentenced to death, and then he got his sentence commuted to just a terrible life, a life of hard labor. He is in a bad situation now because he and his compatriots have been building roads. They've been working in a limestone quarry. They've also been physically abused, I think it's safe to say, because they got branded, like the way you would brand cattle, with the letter D for deserter. And he says to DeVoy, you know, we're getting sick. We're not going to live much longer. We need help. And at the same time, in the Fenian network, another guy reaches out to DeVoy.
That's right. It's a guy named John Boyle O'Reilly who got to Fremantle along with Wilson many of the other Irish recruits. And then he was singled out and transferred to Bunbury, which was another prison in the western part of Australia. He had no one to have his back. He left all his compatriots behind, and he started getting more and more depressed and just in this constant state of desperation. He tried killing himself by slitting his own wrists, but thankfully another convict found him in time and he was saved. And then he kind of made friends with a Catholic priest and was able to escape from Bunbury by rowing out to sea and then talking the captain of an American whaling vessel to let him board.
Oh, to hire him, basically.
100%. Well, first of all, you got to talk your way from the rowboat onto the ship. And then you got to, okay, well, now that I'm here, how can I be of service? And you not like narc me out when I'm clearly an escaped convict, right? Maybe not. He might have had a very, the Irish have the gift of gab oftentimes. But yeah, so he on board this whaling vessel sailed to the U.S. And that's where he started his second life as a poet. He edited a Catholic newspaper called the Boston Pilot, where he was a journalist as well. And he started to feel a little guilty of the men that he'd left behind, even though, again, he was pulled away from them and was kind of left to fend on his own. But that wasn't their fault. But he still felt the brunt of that oath that these Fenians took. This brotherhood took it very seriously. And he started to think of ways that he could help them. And that's when John Devoy came to mind. He decided he was going to reach out to Devoy and ask for his help in rallying members of that American kind of subset of the Fenians called the Clan na Gael. Forgive me, anyone from Ireland out there, if I am butchering that pronunciation. We tried to look it up, but couldn't find an audible pronunciation. So it's doing the best we can here with what we've got. But the idea was that he would rally members of this group to assemble a crew and rescue the men who'd been left behind.
Right. So the plan is coming together, and Devoy is is an easy sell for this, right? Because he also has loyalty to the Fenians. And additionally, O'Reilly, who I agree, Noel, he must be a very charismatic dude because he talked his way onto the whaling ship. He obviously influenced that priest in Australia, right? And then Now he's influencing Devoy, and he is living proof that escape is possible. So this conversation with O'Reilly plus Wilson's letter makes Devoy think, I bear some responsibility because I recruited a lot of these people. And he even writes about it explicitly later. This is referenced in the Smithsonian article we mentioned. Devoy says, most of the evidence on which the men were convicted related to meetings with me. I felt that I, more than any other man then living, ought to do my utmost for these Fenian soldiers. And that speaks to his character, I think, because he's realizing I got these guys in this situation one way or the other. So I think I respect that,
That's right. And again, these Fenians and a lot of these Irish revolutionaries, they just wanted to have their own free state, away from English rule in the same way that members of the American Revolution did. So it's like, one person's freedom fighter is another person's terrorist, depending on what side of the divide that you're on. So it does seem they weren't, just out to sow anarchy, that they did have, good hearts, and they, had a cause that they believed in passionately. We have a reprinting of this letter that Wilson wrote that Devoy actually read out loud to rally the troops at a meeting of the clan. That's with a C, the Clan na Gael. Maybe we could tag team this one, Ben.
What sure. Yeah, this is a great one. Max, kick in the music, because this is the part of the heist film where the leader makes a speech, an impassioned speech, and where you start rounding up all your specialists. So this is the moment. Devoy stands up. He's at, like you said, a secret meeting, and he reads Wilson's words. And Wilson is crackerjack writer, guys. He says, "What a death is staring us in the face. The death of a felon in a British dungeon, and a grave amongst Britain's ruffians.
I am not ashamed to speak the truth, that it is a disgrace to have us in prison today.
A little money judiciously expended would release every man that is now in West Australia. Think that we have been nearly 9 years in this living tomb since our first arrest, and that it is impossible for mind or body to withstand the continual strain that is upon us. One or the other must give way.
Remember, this is a voice from the tomb. For is this not a living tomb? In the tomb, it is only a man's body that is good for worms, but in this living tomb, the cankerworm of care enters the very soul. And we think if you forsake us, then we are friendless indeed. I have a question. No. What is a cankerworm?
Oh, gosh. I'm imagining it's some sort of like maggot that infests, you know, open sores. Is that accurate? That's just me using context clues.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with this, and it sounded very unpleasant because I immediately associated it with those little things in people's mouths, canker sores. Mm-hmm. It was like, if your canker sore gets bad enough, are there canker worms involved? But no, they're the little like inchworm guys.
Oh,
you know.
Okay, so but even the little inchworm guys will eat, you know, rotting flesh if it's buried in the ground, and their little inchworm paths happen to cross a tasty morsel, right? Or is it just earthworms that eat flesh? I'm not sure. Neither of us are worm experts, but that is my theory.
Yeah, and so so he. Devoy reads this letter, and then he pauses with great gravitas. And Noel, I want to lean on your amazing voice acting skills here, because when he puts down the letter, picture him looking around the secret meeting, a moment of silence, and then he shouts,
"These men are our brothers!" Yeah, and that did the trick. that was like the freedom, you know, cry, or like, give me liberty or give me death, you know, all of that good stuff.
I have big, not yet begun to fart, or whatever the actual, you know, is.
The one. Yep, the one. big fighting words, boisterous rallying cries. That's literally what a rallying cry is. That is the very foundation of a rallying cry. So they start to gather funds together, like cash money, to put together the resources they need to pull off this rescue.
So we're getting really into this story. I think it's clear that the three of us love this tale, and we are gonna make this a two-parter because we don't want to cut anything.
Yes, indeed. I think this is a great stopping point, and we will be back in just a couple of days' time with the stunning conclusion to the Catalpa prison break. In the meantime, why don't you check us out as human beings and as a show on Instagram? You can find the show on Instagram at Ridiculous History, and us as individuals as well.
That's right. You can find me at Ben Bolin HSW on Twitter. You can see my various misadventures, sometimes international, on Instagram, where in a burst of creativity, I've called myself at Ben Bolin, B-O-W-L-I-N. What about you, Mr. Brown?
You can find me exclusively on Instagram, where I am at How Now Noel Brown. Huge thanks to super producer Max Williams, Alex Williams, who composed our theme, researcher extraordinaire Gabe Lusier.
And of course, big thanks to Christopher Hasiotis. Big thanks to Eves Jeffcoat. Big thanks to Jonathan Strickland, aka the Quister. After you hear part two, folks, help us figure out how we're going to cast ourselves. So, Noel, you're the bag man. Max, you want to be the captain? I mean, Captain Anthony. You know the story. You know the score.
Oh yeah, no, I could totally keep it together. I think of the three of us, I'm the most captain material. So.
Oh,
yeah,
all right. Okay. All right. Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. I'll be one of the other guys.
Well, as long as I get to be the bag man, I'm all good. We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com. Shop now on tomboyx.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.